being here this morning. Our lesson this morning, open our eyes. Brother Mike read a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, about two blind men sitting on the road and hearing that Jesus was passing by and crying out to him. The miracles of Jesus were intended to produce faith in those who witnessed his power. Now, Dorothy and I yesterday watched a movie. I'm not going to recommend it, but it was called Mansion of the Doomed. It was an older horror movie. There was no cursing, no nudity, but it was rather gory. It was about a doctor and his adult daughter in a car accident. And because of the accident, his daughter became blind. And he was so obsessed with guilt of causing his daughter to go blind that he developed a procedure to transplant eyes. So he would meet someone and he would drug them, operate on them, take their eyes and implant them into his daughter. Well, needless to say, to make a long story short, the eyes were rejected, so he had to keep on drugging people, taking their eyes, transplanting them again into his daughter, but it would never work. How many of us are like that? You know, not literally that we have our eyes transplanted, but we always try to look at things in a different way to try to justify perhaps how we're living our life and how we do things. In John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, John writes, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now, these people that doctor had stolen their eyes were blind. And he kept them in the basement in a big cage. And by the time it was all said and done, there was like eight people in there. But the daughter never received her sight. How many of us try our best to not look at things that make us feel guilty? You know, we try to spiritually blind ourselves so that we don't feel like we're sinning. Now, I want us to understand what John writes here, because Jesus performed many miracles. And these two men were crying out to him to receive their sight. Now, we're not told if they were blind from birth or if some accident caused them to be blind. I'm going to assume that perhaps they were blind from birth. Now, not only do these accounts have the power to produce faith, and that's what John is talking about here, all these other miracles that we don't even know that was performed, but because we do know of those that were, they produce in us faith. They should open our eyes instead of walking around being blind by our own ignorance. I want us to consider this incident that we've seen in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. While Jesus was leaving the city of Jericho, a multitude of people were following him. Now there were these two blind men, and I'm assuming that they were sitting alongside the road. Now there may have been some people guiding them. But Jesus was passing by, so that's why I believe that they were either sitting by the roadside or someone was with them and holding them in place to keep them from perhaps getting hurt. But they heard that Jesus was passing by. And they cried out to Jesus for mercy. But what happened? They cried out, "Lord, help us, thou son of David." And those that were following Jesus, what did they try to do? "Hey, y'all just be quiet. Jesus don't have time to take care and to worry about you two. You two blind beggars." But they cried out all the more. And Jesus took notice. He asked what they desired, and he gave them their sight. Now these blind men, they turned to Jesus for help. Even though they were blind, they knew, they understood, because of hearing of all of the miracles that Jesus had performed, they knew that if they was able to get close enough, they could ask Jesus to heal their blindness, and they knew that Jesus could do it. These blind men, they turned to Jesus for help. Matthew 20 and verse 30. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.'" We read in John chapter 6, verses 68, "Then Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.'" These two blind men, they understood that Jesus had the power to heal their blindness. And Peter says to Jesus, because he was asked, you know, who do men say that I am? And then they give the example of some Elias and so on and so forth. Then Jesus asked the disciples, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Peter says here in John 6 and verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" These two blind men sitting along the side of the road, there was no place else for them to turn. The doctors of that day, they could not heal their blindness. But they knew and understood that Jesus had the power. And John says, "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Who else can we go to? Who else can we go to heal our spiritual blindness?' There's no one except Jesus. Jesus has eternal life. No one else." We read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you ever heard someone complain that the reason that they've not ever become a Christian was because they feel that it is just too hard? It's too hard of a life to live? Well, Jesus is telling us here that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's not something that's going to weigh us down. It's not something that's going to be heavy upon us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We don't have to worry about whether or not heaven is going to be our home. In fact, the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 5, and verse 13, he says, these things I write so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's sad when you hear a Christian, when someone asks, are you going to heaven? And they say, well, I hope so. Brothers and sisters, if you're just hoping and not knowing, then there's something wrong. Either that or John the Apostle lied to us in 1 John 5:13. Now these blind men sought the Lord in spite of opposition. Have you ever had someone say, well, you can't do that? Well, why can't you? You know, these blind men, they were crying out for the Lord to heal their blindness. And then those that were following Jesus turned to him and said, hey, y'all be quiet. You need to hush up now. You're not worthy to bother the king. In spite of the opposition, they cried out even more. Matthew 20, verse 31, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried out the more. They cried out even louder. They were not going to let Jesus pass by without him hearing them. But they cried out the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Now the question is this. Can others silence you? Are there others around you or in your life that can silence you in your faith, in your belief, in your proclaiming the gospel? Think about that. Would we allow someone to command and demand that we stop preaching the gospel? That we stop teaching the gospel? That we stop taking the gospel to the lost world? Can others silence us? Notice this, if you will. Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. This is Peter and John. All right? But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They wouldn't even say Jesus' name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But notice what Peter and John said. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. They pretty much told the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, whoever was bringing this up to them, hey, judge for yourself. Judge for yourself if it's right for us to be silent. Is it right for you to command us to be silent? He says, judge ye, for we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard. Do we get excited about teaching about the things that we can see and read and understand within the Word of God? You know, granted, we don't have the miracles that they had in the first century, but we have the Word of God. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, this kind of goes along with Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. You know, they told Peter and John to stop teaching and preaching in Jesus' name. But notice what happened. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, saying, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? Are you not listening to what we told you? We told you to stop. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You know, I think it's kind of interesting what Luke, the writer here, just said. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You're making us feel guilty. Stop it. Have not people made that same accusation towards those who are teaching and preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified? You're making me feel guilty. I don't want to hear it, so stop. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Isn't that right? Should we not obey God rather than man? You know, I'm sorry if the Word of God makes you feel guilty. Maybe that's a sign that you need to change. Maybe that's a sign you need to repent. Notice what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. This basically is found in Psalms 116 and verse 10, where the psalmist writes, I believe, therefore I have spoken, and I was greatly afflicted. These blind men requested that Jesus open their eyes. Matthew 20, 33. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Even though we do, everyone here, have our physical sight, although some may have more issues with their sight than others, you know, without my glasses, you know, I can see you all pretty well. But if I try to read what I've got down here in my notes or in my Bible, I can't see it. It's just blurry lines. But with my glasses on, everything's corrected. We may look out into the world and things look okay. But then we look into the Word of God and our eyesight is improved 100% over what we see in the world. Even though we have our physical sight, might we need our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to be opened? May we not need our spiritual eyes opened to the opportunities that we have? Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Are we seeing the opportunities that's presented to us? And has kept my word and hath not denied my name. Maybe we need our spiritual eyes open to see our blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That word all there means that there is none left out. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So if we're not in Christ, then there are no spiritual blessings. Those blessings are only for those that are in Christ. Psalms 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Take your Bibles and open up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Perhaps we need to have our spiritual eyes opened to truly see our future. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. In other words, God is going to bring the vengeance upon those who persecute the church. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with these mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you that our Lord would count you worthy of this calling and full of the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith and power, that the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our future is in heaven. We don't have to worry about those who are persecuting us. We don't have to worry about those who bring tribulation, because our home is in heaven. God will seek the vengeance. Maybe we, like those blind men in Jesus' day, need to be crying out to the Lord and asking him to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes. If your eyes are open and you don't like what you see, then take advantage of the opportunity that you have this morning to make things right. You know, it does no good if, like in the movie that Dorothy and I watched, having our eyes changed to try to fit our lifestyle outside of God. So this morning, if you're here and not a Christian, you have the opportunity to be baptized and have your sins washed away. Or if you're here already a child of God, but perhaps see that you need the prayers of the saints, would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Have you a heart that's weary, standing alone of care?